pretty bad start to the year. People are reassessing their asset allocations and so forth and so on. So, first of all, and it's not like we're not doing this ourselves for our own clients, but we kind of do it. Well, we don't kind of. We do it all year long. So, from a dividend point of view, so you have a scenario where you've got a portfolio, you're following the 10-year rule because you've listened to the show for 30 years. At the end of the day, fixed incomes are paying very little.
Right.
So it's not attractive. And if you've listened to the show over the past couple of years, we've talked about buying higher dividend paying stocks, one, to add a little bit of defensiveness to the portfolio, but two, to help sort of juice the income that's being generated, which would modify how much you need to have in 10 years worth of liquidity.
Sure.
So I know with our review, where do we start?
I would say most important, especially in a time like now, we look at the dividend coverage is one of the first things we want to look at when we're reviewing our current portfolio of those stocks that we hold specifically for their dividends. You want to make sure that the company is earning enough money to continue paying that dividend. So, I mean, what good is it if a company's paying you a dollar right now if they're going to cut it to 50 cents next week? The stock's going to tank as a result. So the most important thing when buying a dividend stock is how safe is that dividend?
And so you look at it, so it's a ratio?
It is, yeah. Okay. So consider it basically net income over the amount that they pay out in dividends per share.
And you can get that from Value Line or
S&P. Yeah, absolutely.
And so what percentage do we like to see, or how many times do we like to?
We kind of have a dual focus on our portfolio. We look for some stocks that we consider dividend growth stocks. So they may not have the highest yield right now, but they're growing their dividend consistently. And the expectation is that, you know, 5-10 years from now, that dividend is going to be paying out a lot more than it currently is. So a stock like that, we look for a payout ratio usually below about 65%. So you don't want them paying out all their earnings so that you can anticipate it continuing to grow and they're not paying out in excess of what they're earning. Now, if the other part of the portfolio we focus on is high yield. So we look for those dividends that pay an above average dividend. And what's important there is that it's below 100. We don't expect them to grow that dividend very much. But again, it's important to ensure that they're not paying out more than they're earning. And that all kind of trickles back to that coverage ratio we just talked about.
So how much of the coverage ratio?
We target a coverage ratio above one.
Okay.
You know, are their earnings enough to cover the dividend?
Sufficient.
I got you.
Yes. So the higher the better, obviously. If you find something with a three, like there's some opportunities right now, you can find a stock that's paying an above average dividend, call it 4-4.5%, and it's covered 2.5 times. So, you know, even if things did turn and the company did see a decrease in earnings, it shouldn't be a problem for them to continue paying that dividend.
Well, because the temptation, too, when a lot of folks look at this, the layperson might look at it and say, well, I'm going to pull up a quote and I see that the dividend yield is 11 or 12%.
Yes. And you're going to see that a lot now. If you look in the energy sector, the material sector,
especially with the market beat today,
you're going to see stocks that are yielding 11%. When you see that, don't get excited. It's usually too good to be true.
Right.
You know, there's a reason that it's yielding so much.
But how long does the dividend coverage? I'm assuming, I'm just making this up. Let's just take an energy stock. I don't know. Pick one. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Exxon.
Yep.
I'm making this up. So their dividend coverage fell. Again, hypothetical, it didn't, but let's say it did to half instead of one. But you look on the books and they've got 3 times their dividend payments for the next 10 years
in cash. You know, it's a case by case basis. It does depend on what the balance sheet looks like. It also depends on, let's say it fell as of right now, oil prices fell, their dividend coverage ratio fell as a result. What is the outlook in the next, you know, 6, 12 months, 18 months? Is the price of oil expected to go back up? If you think that earnings, let's say it's not an energy stock, no matter what it is, if you think earnings are going to pick back up and grow again and they're going to be able to cover it, yeah, they can probably weather a short-term, you know, decline in earnings. But if it's more uncertain like we're seeing now, if we had an energy stock in that portfolio that fell below one, I'd consider replacing it because it's very tough to gauge where energy prices are going.
It's such a manipulated market.
Yeah.
That's the reality, right? I mean, when it comes to oil price, yeah.
I'm not sure it's not always that way, but certainly feels that way right now.
Yeah, it does.
So, okay, so just going back to the dividend growth side of things. So if you're looking at stocks, you're doing your screens or whatever it is you're doing, speaking to you out there, and you say, look, I don't necessarily need a high income portfolio, so I don't need Southern Company paying me 6% or whatever it is. But I'd like to get 3-4%, but then I'd like to see that dividend growing 7% a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So effectively what that means is if you're getting 3 or 4% today and the dividend is growing at 7% a year, and it actually will do that if mm-hmm. it does that, then you've doubled your dividend. And
absolutely. You look at your yield to cost at that point. Let's say I'm receiving a dollar now on a $10 stock. That's right. A bad example because you're getting 10%. It's right. Not realistic. But, you know, if you're getting $4 10 years from now and your cost of that stock was still $10, you know, that's 40%.
Right.
So that dividend, the increase in that dividend can really juice your income years down the road.
Right. And I know, you know, we're going to do this analyzation. There's a project I want to do. It's basically on the S&P 500 and whether or not you should be gauging all of your performance against the S&P 500 or not. And I'm here to tell you, you should not. Mm. But a lot of it is you have to decide how you want your money invested. And while the S&P 500 and Vanguard's index funds have done a great job at marketing, you know, robo-advising and passive investment and so forth, while I don't have a problem with that if you're truly going to be lazy, mm-hmm. I don't have any problem with that. If you're going to be active, some years you're going to trail the index.
Right.
But some years you're going to beat the pants off the index, and I think that's what you have to sit back and say is, look, what was the strategy that I was trying to employ in this portfolio? Whether it's high yield, dividend growth, straight conservative bonds, whatever it is,
right.
And take a look at it and rebalance. And so let's say that small caps are down 20% and large caps were fairly flat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if my small caps are down 20% and I was supposed to have a 10% allocation, now I've only got an 8% allocation.
Right.
You've got to remodel.
You've got to rebalance.
And so what that does, not only are you dollar cost averaging into the individual stocks as you're making your 401k contributions or your IRA contributions or whatever, but when you rebalance, you're also dollar cost averaging
sure.
out of one sector into another. So I think that's imperative that you got to decide on what your investment philosophy is going to be and not chase the hot returns. You know, having a discussion with people about, well, why weren't you 100% in the healthcare sector? Well, I don't know. Why would I put 100% of my money in anything?
In anything.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, but that's the, you know, what was it? Was it the FANG? What is it? If you'd invested in Facebook, Amazon, Netflix,
and Google.
Made like $4 million.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah,
turn a nickel into $4
exactly.
million. It's better than the lotto.
Of course.
But, of course, now all of them are down, you know.
Oh, this year, yeah. There's big momentum.
You know, this is the problem is you can't time it. So decide what your risk tolerance and investment strategy is going to be. Implement it. Stick to it. That's the hard part.
Yeah, and in times like now, if you are the type of investor who does get scared when we have these pullbacks, as Bill mentioned, a high dividend portfolio or dividend paying portfolio really does take some of the volatility out of that. So, you know, that may be something you want to consider adding to your portfolio to somewhat, you know, level out the volatility you're seeing day to day.
Oh, yeah. Plus, it's nice seeing the check rolling.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
Now, you know, we were talking about the 10-year rule and why we use the 10-year rule. And to some degree, it's you know, if you think about it, one, you're definitely going to have two presidents mm-hmm. in that period of time. And generally, you will go through two economic cycles, generally. Now, what's the back testing here from Ibbotson?
So Ibbotson 2015 yearbook, if you look at the 10-year rolling returns on large cap stocks, they have been positive 76 out of the 80 periods tested.
So what's that, like 95% of
very
the time?
High.
Yes.
Very high.
You know, now, you have 15 years there?
20 years.
So
all 70 periods.
100%.
Positive.
So if you had a 20-year time horizon, I actually know it's 15.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a 15-year or 20-year time horizon, there's never, ever, ever been a time where you wouldn't have been better off in stocks. Than any other investment.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't have lost any money.
Right.
Now, that's a long holding period, and a lot of stuff happens in 15 years or 20 years.
Sure.
But that's the approach we try to take. So one other scenario that we need to talk about, and don't underestimate some of this playing into why the market's volatile and why it would probably remain volatile for the rest of the year, is the election.
Yes.
I just view it as comedy, but apparently people take this stuff serious.
They do, and obviously – There's going to be a new president. There's uncertainty, and uncertainty means risk.
You never know. Might be an executive order.
Yeah.
That's right.
It could happen.
Hey.
Anything can happen, right? But, you know, coming into the new year, you hear a lot of things regarding the market in terms of statistics in, you know, presidential election years. And the point I want to make is ignore it all. Ignore all of it. Focus on the fundamentals of the market and the economy and base your investing off of that. I just want to throw out some examples, and hopefully I don't confuse you with all the statistics, but I just want to show how they can be manipulated. So one statistic that's out says that in presidential election years going back to 1960, the S&P 500 has posted an average return of 6.5%. In the fourth year of presidential election cycle, the average return has been 6.1% for the S&P 500 and rose 76% of the time. However, if you manipulate the data and look at the fourth year of a president's second term, the S&P has averaged a return of just 1.2%. So pretty much you can look at the data you want to look at to make the point that the market's going up or the market's
what do you want it to say?
Be flat
is
or down.
Is basically the point here.
Exactly.
What do you want to see in the numbers, right?
So exactly. The important part is to take a look at the fundamentals of the economy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have been told for forever that the economy's not doing well.
Well, and don't time the market, right? We said this already in the show.
Right. The economy is limping along. That's a fact.
We're the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry for
we
sure.
We have been for mm-hmm. 6 years.
Yeah.
That's right.
So remember this. If you're in the woods being chased by a bear, you do not have to outrun the bear. You have to outrun your friend.
The guy
That's
next
right.
to you.
That's right.
Well, we're going to stop here for a quick break.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.